Connection with my girl, Mitch. Relationships, kids, Asian parents, work, what the fuck? The Sandwich Generation. Now, here's Mitch.
Yo, 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 what up? My name is Mitch, and welcome back to The Sandwich Generation. That is spelled D-A-S-A-N-D-W-I-C-H-G-E-N-R-A-T-I-O-N. This up here is where we be talking about life from the middle, looking up at our kids and back at our elders at the same time. Listen, if you want to find more episodes, resources, and ways to reach out to us at thesandwichgeneration.com. And if anything we talked about today resonates and hits close to home, you can email us at thesandwichgeneration@gmail.com. So I've been thinking about topics. You know, we're newly into the new year, and I'm really thinking about no contact. That's a theme that's really floating around. And I think it has existed for quite a while, but we haven't had anything to name it. So, you know, sometimes love is proximity. Other times it's distance. I think on a previous episode, I talked about having to take my mama in doses. I can't just be there all the time with her. I have to decide what the dose is before I go, right? Okay, so every generation defines no contact differently. And it's not about punishment. It's about preservation, self-preservation. Each generation just learned different rules about when distance is allowed and how it works. So I believe this episode is timely, but of course, I don't want to be trendy cheesy. That's not the goal, is to be cheesy. I'm not villainizing any one generation. There are some that might decide to go no contact with a parent, and it is completely unwarranted, and that ain't right. And then there are some parents that will not accept the no contact because they refuse to understand and believe and know that they caused this situation to go the way that it's going. Okay, so the goal is to invite reflection, not have like sort of a taking of sides thing. That's not what I'm trying to do here. So let me start with a little story, right? Let's say there was a little kid who didn't know the word boundary. He didn't know the phrase no contact. Didn't have therapy language or Instagram slides or TikTok education to explain nothing, right? All that kid knew was, I don't want to go there. Now, there could be anywhere. Could be grandma's house. Could be auntie Unc's house. It could be Unc's house. All the kid knows is, I don't like how they make me feel. Mama, can you stay with me? Daddy, can we go together? You know, kids, they can't articulate danger. They feel it. And so sometimes you might ask, are you scared? Are you angry? This is one thing that happens in our community that the Black community that I really want to start lessening is, why you mad? Fix your face. While you acting like you mad, how about we stop and ask somebody how they feel? How about that? You know, kids don't articulate danger. They feel it. So you might ask, where do you feel? They might not know what they feel. Ask them what they feel. Then ask them where they feel it. You feel it in your stomach. Do you feel it in your shoulders? You know, and you need to be observant about the quiet ride home, that there could be volumes spoken in the silence, right? So, and then don't assume, just because it's in the stomach, don't think it means that they're nervous. They might be disgusted. So it's important to get this emotional intelligence under control. And so, you know, a lot of times grown folks override that feeling because we say things like, well, that's family. Hey, you go hug your unk right now. Hug, that's your cousin. That's your cousin. Don't be rude. That's your cousin. And then your child tries to explain it, and you say, oh, they didn't mean it like that. You just being too sensitive. Stop being so sensitive. But there. They tried to tell you and you didn't want to listen. So here's the truth that we don't always want to sit with. A child doesn't know what a boundary is. They just know when their stomach hurts. Sometimes they don't even know what caused it. It's up to you to determine that backstory. What is the backstory of the stomach ache? Right? You know, kids, they're going to withdraw before they rebel. They go quiet before they go no contact. They adapt before they confront. You know, so we're coming out of the holidays. And some of this, you got to be cognizant and pay attention to what the hell is going on. You need to read between the lines. You need to read the room. You need to be able to see and understand the energy. You know, if we don't listen early, sometimes we're shocked later. You know, I heard one of my friends, her brother's daughter attempted to take her life. We need to see the signs. The signs are important. We need to read a room and read between the lines. So remember, we're not about accusing anybody. This is about noticing. It's about feeling the nuances. Are you noticing your baby stiffening up? Like, has rigor mortis set in when you say, we going to see grandpa? You know, or even, you know, if it's time for a custody visit, do they go catatonic on you? You have to pay attention to this. You know, if they suddenly don't want to visit, their laughter disappears around certain people, you know. So, you know, sometimes distance is the boundary, you know. It might feel like a game of blood, space, and survival. Give me room, give me room, give me room, because I like to move it, move it. You know, sometimes you got to move. You got to move energetically. You got to move physically. You got to move for a time period. Doesn't necessarily have to be forever. But, you know, these are the ways the kids say no contact. I don't want to go there. I don't like how I feel when I come back. Can you stay with me? You know, you got to talk about, you know, if with the other adults surrounding the child. You know, you got to talk about, do you think that Jaquan is withdrawing? You know, because if we're all noticing that the child is withdrawing and they can't explain why, that's a greater conversation that needs to be had. It's not just that's family issue. Okay? So remember, like I said, you know, the children are going to feel unsafe and they're not always going to have the verbiage for that, you know, and the feeling of unsafety is unfortunately usually long before the adults acknowledge the harm. So, you know, back to our little story, our little parable, a child doesn't know what a boundary is. They just know when their stomach hurts, right? You know, so we have to teach our kids that it's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay to name the discomfort. The discomfort has a name. And that's a long, winding journey sometimes into figuring out what that is. But we got to admit that is a valuable journey. We don't have to label anybody as a villain. You know, but there are some treacherous behaviors that I can't discuss without a trigger warning. And most of y'all know what I'm talking about. That happened when the signs were there. They tried to communicate. You were too busy. You had to go to work. You couldn't figure it out. Okay. So what happens when that kid grows up and finally gets language for what they felt and what they underwent? And what they had to go through. You know, sometimes these kids that we're calling shy, that's actually about self-protection. You know? So let's say we open with a kid, right? There's a little house on the corner. Everybody said, that's where family lives. But that kid ain't like going inside that structure, right? That's a building. That ain't a home. You know, because his chest felt tight every time the door closed. No labels, no accusations. Kid ain't even got word for what be happening up in here. Every time foot crosses the threshold of this place, right? Just body memory. The child remembers the feeling they felt the last time they went there. So the kid notices that voices get sharp, right? Silence gets very, very heavy. And love feels extremely conditional. So the kid learned early how to stay quiet, how to stay gone, how to stay safe. Then, you know, you as mama or daddy are trying to figure out what happened. He was so sweet. He was so kind. What happened? Where did we go wrong? But you missed all the signs. Okay? So this is where we have to get to the truth-telling of this thing. And we have to handle these issues with honesty and compassion. Because a child just doesn't wake up and internally go no contact. That's not what happens. And I'm so sorry. I forgot to even describe what no contact is. Sorry about that. I just be talking sometimes. But no contact is the decision to not have any further contact with certain individuals who is causing you mental harm, physical harm, and other kinds of trauma. Okay? You decide you're not going to call them, not going to email them. They can't reach you on social media. You're not going to respond to them. You ignore them. And it's usually a very painful decision. It's not just something that's trending and, oh, well, my friend's not talking to their mom, so I'm not going to talk to mine. Like, who would do that, right? And so we have to think about what happened before. You know, not all no contact decisions are made. Some of them are revealed. Some of them have been building over time. You know, and like I said, we have to handle this with honesty and compassion. We need these discussions of no contact and the feelings of no contact for the kids. We need them to become powerful instead of cruel. We're not calling anybody out. I mean, there might be another time for that, but that's not what this time is right now. But the distance doesn't start with the kids or the grandkids. It starts decades earlier with patterns. And that in particular is an elephant that we have to very carefully address. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on going no contact? You know, the elder generations just think it's rude. And after all I've done for you, you really gonna do me like that? But, you know, we need to think about some of these folks sitting up in these nursing homes. Ain't nobody coming to visit them. Any relationship is a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. And so it's important to respect and honor yourself as well as the person that you're in relationship with. So coming up next, we're going to talk about what happens when those kids grow up, when they finally get a language for where they fit, what they felt all along. And that person might be you. I know it's me, you know. But before we go there, remember, for more info, past episodes and contact details, always can find it at thesandwichgeneration.com. And you can email us anytime at thesandwichgeneration@gmail.com. If you want to share your story or suggest a future topic, let us know. We would love to have you as a guest as well. And we just kind of want to know what you think about this thing. Where are you feeling in terms of going no to contact and being no contact? So looking forward to it. Coming up.
Let's go. I need a change in my life, cause I don't feel alive and there's nothing that makes me happy. Oh, and we all got dreams.
all want things. But what you gonna do for it? How you gonna move for it? What you gonna be?
So my name is Mitch. And if you're just joining us, this is The Sandwich Generation, spelled D-A-S-A-N-D-W-I-H-C-H-G-E-N-R-A-T-I-O-N. And Up in Her is where we hold multiple generations in the same conversation. So let's fast forward with our story with that kid, right? That kid. You know, years later, that kid grows up and finally gets words for what they felt. They might call it boundaries because that's what they hear people saying on the socials, TikTok, you know. You know, they maybe learned that from therapy. They call it protecting their peace because they saw that on a TikTok, you know, or on Reels, right? And this is where no contact ends up entering the chat, right? The family chat. You know, where don't nobody want to deal with it, right? And it's always interesting how this happens because sometimes people are like, well, I'm not talking to Auntie Jessica and you shouldn't be talking to her either. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. What happened is between you and Auntie Jessica, that ain't got shit to do with me. Okay? I love Auntie Jessica, and I can deal with Auntie Jessica, and I can love you as well. But first of all, when that kind of fucking energy be coming my way, I'm like, don't fucking tell me what to do, who to have in my life, because I might just not want you in my life, you know? So, but this is the part that people don't talk about enough. Most of the no contact stories, they don't start with an announcement, right? Nobody bangs on the door, right? Nobody knocks on the door, the family door. Open up, open up, open up. Nobody does that, right? Nobody sends like some sort of manifesto text letting you know what's going to happen. Like, you know, nobody really slams a door. They just stop knocking. Why am I going to contribute my beautiful, sexy, loving, engaging energy towards shit? Like fucking bullshit. Why the fuck would I do that? That makes no fucking sense at all. So you know what ended up happening? I'm going to tell you what ended up happening. The holidays just get quieter. The ring. You end up getting more of those. There's a longer wait before an answer. And then the frequency of the answers starts dwindling, right? Visits get postponed indefinitely. Well, Grandma Dorothy, I know you wanted me to come see you. Well, yeah, you ain't came to see me in a month of Sundays. And in your head, it's like it's going to be about 5 more months of Sundays. Because I can't take it. I can't deal with it. This is what happens. Everybody has a breaking point. Everybody has a limit. And here's the elephant we have to name, right? Sometimes no contact isn't dramatic. It's fucking organic. It's a consequence. You know, it's a natural consequence. It's not one that you stayed up all night and scripted to get people to figure it out, right? Okay? So it's not chosen anger, but it's a place that kid that we started the story with, that kid grows up and arrives there through exhaustion. You know, people keep getting hurt and then eventually they just stop returning to the source of pain. People are looking for that which is going to bring them joy in their lives. Not chaos, not more trauma, not a reliving of past trauma, right? So it ain't about punishment. Folks up in here trying to survive and thriving is the surefire way to survive. And then what happens, honestly, people get so good, feeling so good with the thriving. They ain't got time for that fucking surviving no more. Ain't nobody want to do that shit. Why? Why I'ma just survive when I could thrive? That makes no sense. So if you're not a part of the thrival equation as opposed to the survival equation, nah, ain't nobody got want nothing to do with you. Mm-mm, they don't want nothing to do with you. And yes, we have to be clear. There is grief in that. Even when the distance is necessary, it still hurts. It hurts the person who is deciding to go no contact. It hurts. You know, but it is still necessary because that person values themselves. You know, they know that they are God's creation too. And so one of the religious abuses that happens is, well, that's your mama. You know, the Bible say you're supposed to honor your mama. You got to honor your mama. Well, the Bible also says that parents are not to exasperate their children. And just by listening to what I've just said, do you hear that last verse tauted and shouted through megaphones the way you have heard, honor your parents? And you know, the Bible, for the most part, is extremely very well balanced. If it's going to talk about one, it's going to talk about the other as well. So we have to admit there's grief in it. You know, even if you have to separate yourself, that still hurts. You can miss people that were never safe for you. But the point remains that you still need to keep your distance from them. So no contact is survival. It's not rebellion. You know, loneliness doesn't always mean abandonment. Sometimes it's the echo of your choice. You know? And so, you know, especially when we're dealing with the elders, which we'll talk about, of course, in the next segment, but this allows this no contact truth in a way that, you know, you don't have to shame a person who's aging, you know, or growing up, right? So, you know, when we talk about no contact, you know, adults today are in therapy. And if they not, they getting therapized on social media, TikTok being prime, right? Then you got your reels, you got your YouTube videos. Take your pick. People are speaking the language of therapy. And so they're parenting differently. They're reparenting themselves differently. You know, they're tending to their inner child differently. So I think most of us are just really exhausted by these generational cycles and this concept that respect means I do what you say regardless of whether it's right or not. Most of us are really tired of that. We're choosing distance over dysfunction instead, you know? So there is definitely this rise of therapy language that we start to see on social media. You know, you see videos of people, I'm protecting my peace, and videos of people out in nature, you know, out up under the trees, playing handpan instruments, you know, playing singing bowls and, you know, playing flutes and, you know, and all of this is giving them the energy and the power that they need to cut off their parents, their siblings, or their friends, their lifelong friends. You know, and there is a grief that comes with no contact. It is important to acknowledge and honor that. There is a grief that comes with it, right? But no one in their right mind would just stop talking to someone that they love. And there's a saying that you have a friend for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And sometimes that's true of family members as well. I mean, you know, no, we're not animals, and I get it. But people love calling themselves mama bears. But if you really look at a mama bear, a true mama bear, I'm sorry, but she gonna kick that ninja out after a while. Mm-mm. You not living up in my house. You not staying with me. Nope. You not taking advantage of me. You going out there and you gonna live your own life out in this world, okay? Nope. 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 I have done enough for you. Look at almost any animal, right? They are very protective of what? Cubs. But them suckers grow out. It's time for them to go out in the wild and fend for themselves. Why do we just keep holding on to our kids? You know? If our kids are the ones that we need to go no contact with, then we've done our part. We put in that 18 years. So it's not slamming a door. It's realizing a fucking house was on fire, damn it. So, you know, you normalize after a time, and it doesn't happen all at once, but you start to normalize the guilt. You have a conversation with it. You realize it's not appropriate, right? You're not just into self-preservation. You're learning and growing yourself. You normalize the doubt. You normalize missing people that just were not safe for you, and you extended your own welcome with these people. So, you know, a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Sometimes the no contact is a season, and then people understand your boundaries and respect them. You know, so sometimes the no contact is temporary, and then sometimes it's permanent. You know, maybe your reason was to bring that child into the world, and you're still trying to extend beyond that. And I'm not saying it's easy. But, and I know that other cultures, you know, just think this is just nutso. It's bats crazy, right? But, you know, sometimes it's not about the other person at all. It's about who you're not trying to come. Like, you ain't trying to catch a case over dealing with the same fucking bullshit that you keep having to deal with. Ain't nobody got time for that shit, okay? So fast forward, you know, that same kid, years later, they got the language and they called it boundaries. They called it therapy. They called it peace. You know, and then you start seeing invitations unanswered, holidays skipped, calls that just keep ringing and don't get picked up. Nobody slammed no doors. They just stopped knocking, you know. You know, they didn't hate the house anymore. They hated how they disappeared inside the house. So, you know, how does this land for people who were raised to believe that family means endurance? Is it a fucking endurance race or is it love? What the fuck are we working on here? You know? So, you know, people just stop coming. They stop showing up. You know, not out of spite, but like I said, self-preservation. You know, when people just keep getting burned, eventually they stop touching the damn stove. We don't need a monologue with a villain. It's just fucking cause and effect. It's one of them that you don't need no book sense. You need common sense, my ninja. You need common sense. So, you know, it's hard to say because our society, we want a cleaner story, don't we? Them kids, they was ungrateful. This just a disrespectful generation. They just abandoned their elders. But the messier truth is that abuse doesn't age out and harm doesn't expire. You know, time passing is not accountability. So, you know, getting older doesn't turn into harm history. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to talk about the hardest angle of all, what this looks like from the elder side and why some empty rooms didn't get that way overnight. And before we move on, a quick reminder, if this resonates with you and you want to share respectfully, you can email us or you can find more resources and episodes at thesandwichgeneration.com. Next segment coming up next.
I feel like I'm losing my mind. Is everybody in the world blind? Please, Lord, give me a sign.
sign.
Yeah, give me a sign. You know, I was just thinking about, you know, one of my friends. And, you know, I know that I've had several friends that have talked to me about how, you know, growing up, there was this particular family member that they don't feel comfortable or safe around. And they don't have the words to articulate it. And they can't communicate it. That's what this is about, you know. The kids, they know energy. They know spirit. They don't know names or faces sometimes. They might know names. They might know faces next. But they might not even know that person's name. We have to get in the point of honoring what it is that the kids are feeling until they get the language to articulate it. You know, like some elders are alone because of that feeling that nobody could put their finger on. Maybe they were controlling. Some of them were fucking cruel. Let's get that shit straight right now. Some of them were emotionally unsafe. You know, they never repaired harm. Maybe I'll talk about that in the future. You know, situation where, you know, my son and, you know, his grandmother, there's some things that happened. He wrote out a really long letter about the situation. She didn't decide to honor that at all in any way. And she just wants to go on as though nothing happened, and he ain't falling for it. That's what I'm saying. These kids in this generation, they scare the fuck out of me because they'll cut your ass off in a second, you know? And you're dealing with a generation in the elders that demand loyalty, but they never offer care. You know, that's not being honoring. That's fucking abusive shit. That's abusive. And it matters if you say that fucking shit out loud. We need to stop sweeping this into the corners of our minds and our homes. This shit is important. We're building people's lives. Forget about church, damn it. We're saving souls by understanding the anatomy of no contact. Okay? So, you know, sometimes we walk through a nursing home or we drive past one. You know, you might have a relative there and you notice it's just one person ain't got never nobody coming to visit them. Maybe you work at, you know, an assisted living facility and we quietly wonder, why don't nobody never come to see them? No grandkids, no kids, no visitors at all. And then we kind of tell ourselves this soft, mamby-pamby fucking story, right? Oh, people are busy. Oh, but maybe everybody lives far away. Aw, families don't stick together like they used to. But sometimes, not always, but sometimes the answer is harder and we don't want to see that shit. We don't want to deal with that. You know, because for some folks, walking back into that room doesn't just activate love, it activates memory. Childhood memory. Remember I talked about body memory. Your stomach is hurting and you haven't taken the time to dissect why. You know, our elders don't understand. You know, we're doing that work. Us other generations are doing that work. But we're trying to unpack this body memory. This is the kind of memory that lives in your chest long before it arrives in your head. So I can tell you personally, when I go visit my own mama, I'm not just visiting her. I'm also visiting every version of myself that learned to survive while being raised with her. And even when you've done your work, right? Even when you've grown, even when you understand the why, your nervous system still remembers. So when we talk about elders who ain't got nobody coming to see them, we have to be very careful not to jump straight to judgment in either direction. Because sometimes people stay away, not because they're being cruel, but because showing up reopens wounds that they worked their entire life to close. And they are not going backwards. Do you want to go backwards? I ain't going fucking backwards. That makes no sense at all. Okay? So it doesn't mean that the elders don't deserve care. Like I said, that's why I have my mama in an assisted living facility. I know that she's well cared for. Every time I come, her nails are a different color. Her hair is braided. It might not be the way she wants it. You know, and like I said in the hair episode, you know, she'll be talking about how people comb her hair like she has nappy hair and her hair's not nappy and what the fuck ever, right? I know that her hair got combed. I know that she got a bath. Okay. And in every angle of that, it was done better than I could do it on my own without any siblings. So she's getting the care that she needs. And in my case, proximity is painful. And, you know, here's the truth that we don't say enough. Abuse doesn't just suddenly turn into like nostalgia just because somebody fucking aged and got older. Them elders, I'm just going to say it, them elders, they do not age better. Most of them do not age better. They don't age like fine wine, okay? Time passing is not time repair. Yeah, time passing is not trauma repair, shall I say. Silence is not accountability, and loneliness doesn't always mean abandonment. Remember, like I said, sometimes the no contact isn't just general and forever. Sometimes you take them in doses. I'm going to go see my mama for 15 minutes, then I got to go. I'll go have lunch with her another day. I've been thinking lately, maybe once a month I'll take my mom to church. If that starts getting on my nerve, then I got to change the fucking dosage. Okay? You know, stay at the same dosage. You got to be evaluated for, what do they call it in the medical field? You know, the risk and benefit, right? Okay. So sometimes no contact is the echo of a harm that was never named and never accounted for. Many of our elders, though, they went no contact themselves. They just used different words. Like, we don't want to talk about that. We don't talk about no. They don't talk about shit, right? You're trying to have a healing circle and a healing moment and they fucking shut down. Oh, that's just how it was then. That's the times. That's how things were back then. Were you upset about it? Because I fucking am. Shit. We don't go there. We don't go there in conversation anymore. We don't talk about that. So they have their version of no contact as well. Okay. But, you know, when the visit stops, then they call it exile, right? You're all of a sudden the prodigal daughter or the prodigal son. But the conversation wasn't had. The conversation that you needed, you know. So no contact. Sometimes it's self-preservation that took decades to admit its name, right? So like I said, you know, the kids, they feel danger before they can explain it. The adults, they decide for themselves what they can no longer carry. And then the elders, they have to live with what was repaired or what wasn't. And the part that we miss is they also have to live with what they chose to heal and what they chose not to. Because see, sometimes it's the natural distance that's created when the wounds were never tended to. You don't dress the wound, it never fucking heals. So sometimes that's a natural consequence. You're dealing with an unhealed wound that the adult who was supposed to be the one to invite the healing, they chose to ignore, to not see, to be honoring, to be, oh, well, I'm 77 years old. I can do what the fuck I want right now. Well, fucking do what the fuck you want, because guess what? I'm 25 and I can do whatever the fuck I want to do too. Right? The elders forget that they're dealing with adults. Okay? Yes, they are their offspring, but they're not children. Okay? And so, if there is an invitation in all of this, it's not blame, it's awareness. It's repair while there's still time. You know, you want to get to this when you can. You don't want to just sit and wait and just hope that it resolves itself. But the truth of the matter is, if you're dealing with an elder that wasn't just ornery but abusive in any capacity, emotionally, verbally, gaslighty, you know. Even the term gaslight and narcissist, those are therapeutic terms that have come into our knowledge and awareness because of social media. But maybe there was an elder who was physically abusive. Abuse doesn't just fucking age out. Abuse doesn't grow respect because it's now in a fucking nursing home. The one thing is for sure, the harm that was inflicted on your mind, body, and soul doesn't expire. It doesn't have an age out date. You know, time passing is not the same as repair, and we know that now. So this is a hard truth, and I say it as gently as I can. Loneliness doesn't always mean abandonment. Sometimes it is the echo of your choices. Yep. And we cannot save people from their own karma and their own consequences. Okay. So I'm definitely not saying that all elders deserve isolation. Like, what the fuck? Why the fuck would I say something like that? It's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying everyone deserves no contact. Right. But what I am saying is that accountability matters no matter which generation you're in, no matter your bun or the meat in the middle. Accountability matters. And repair requires effort, not entitlement. Just because, you know, you are, you know, this elder doesn't mean that, you know, you just get to do whatever it is that you want to do and that you don't have to apologize, that you don't have to take care of someone's feelings. Relationships are reciprocal, you know, at every age, no matter the type of relationship. So it's a sad truth to think about, but some elders are alone because the family failed them. And some elders are alone because they failed the family. I stuttered. I want to drop the mic on this one. Some elders are alone because they failed the family. Nope. Let me get it again. Some elders are alone because the family failed them. And some are alone because they failed the family. Both can be true. They could both be true at the same time. So all we can do is work to change what we can. We want to make sure that we have kids who learn to feel safe early and learn to trust the feelings of unsafety. And we want to make sure that adults have the freedom to decide what they will no longer tolerate. And our elders have to live with what they built or what they repaired. So tying it all together, no contact isn't always a choice. Sometimes it's the natural shape of a life lived without repair. That's not cruel. That's honest. Okay. So, like I said, if there's an invitation in all of this, it's not blame. It's awareness. It's repair while there's still time. So again, my name is Mitch, and I hope we had a chance to slow down and breathe and think about this to help us prepare for all of the holidays we'll be experiencing and interacting with family this new year, this 2026, because, you know, every elder is sitting alone. Everyone is not abandoned, and every absence is not cruelty. Sometimes the distance tells a story. So thank you so much for joining us here today. We are very interested in seeing if this topic moved you, if it could relate to something that was going on in your own life personally. We're also interested in knowing what topics you want us to address or discuss or talk about here. And we're interested in finding out if this particular topic triggered you. Because what I'm learning is triggers are teachers. They're telling you where you still need to be healed. And so, sorry, not sorry. You can thank me later. What can I say except you're welcome? See you next time.